How many people stayed up late last night to watch the FSU game? Right, I did, I confess. How many people were happy with the result? Okay, I confess that too. Now, this is not going to be a football sermon, but I was thinking that I haven't given a football sermon this fall, all fall. So for those who don't like them, you are happy. But I want to say this about football. I wonder what, I think that Coach Fisher and I can relate to each other. And you are saying, how is that? See, I wonder if Coach Fisher was thinking to himself, you know, let's spot the other team three quarters of really bad play and know that they can just like pull it all out at the end. I wonder if he told his players to do that. Or if he's saying, come on guys, I'm a little bit older than you are, you're going to give me a heart attack every time you go out and play, you guys are lousy in the first half, and then you pull it together at the end, which is great, but you know, I'm losing my hair by the second. Or I wonder if Coach Fisher is sitting in his office this morning saying, wow, he dodged the bullet last night. I mean, I know he's saying to the papers about resiliency and how we all play as a team, and you know, this is a character win. But I wonder if somewhere, he's by himself, no one's around, and he's like mopping his head off and going, gosh, we dodged the bullet there. Right, so how do I relate to that? It seems like in the Orthodox Church, in my experience now, many years as a priest, that we kind of go through the year when it comes to like our stewardship like that. We always have kind of a really rocky start, and then we kind of have a so-so middle, and then we always like pull through at the end, and I'm like, thank God, we dodged the bullet, and now, do it all over again. Alright? And I'm sure that Coach Fisher will tell his players next week when they go play, come on guys, it's Boston College. We shouldn't be spotting them three quarters of the game. Just like we should say, look, we're all successful people here, we're all committed Christians. Guys, why do we wait three quarters of the year and rely on the festival Hail Mary, you know, to win the game? We always seem to win the game, but we don't win, you know, pretty. Now, I have many things on my mind, and I want to share a few of them with you. How many people have been to the Metropolitan Ministries? I'm sorry. How many people have been to First Presbyterian for the community outreach? How many people have done that? Let me see your hands. Okay. Metropolitan Ministries gives a lot of food so that community outreach can take place. But I actually went to the community outreach yesterday for the first time. It's the third Saturday of the month. It's held at First Presbyterian Church downtown. And it's been going on for about 3.5 years, and I met this gentleman, his name's Mike, and I forget his wife's name. What is it?
Peggy.
Peggy, okay. Mike and Peggy Cantor, who are members of that church, who had an idea about 3.5 years ago that they wanted to feed the hungry every Saturday. And I'm very proud, and not know that it had only been going on for 3.5 years, but I'm very proud that our community, along with one other community, were the first two communities to pair with Mike and his wife to make this happen every Saturday. Our community goes faithfully the third Saturday of every month. And Mike had the nicest things to say about the people in our community who are going there every third Saturday of the month. It's a really different experience to come face to face with people who are hungry. It's a different experience than writing a check to help feed the hungry. It's a different experience than bringing some food to help feed the hungry. Now, in the next few weeks, we are going to be accepting checks, and we're going to be accepting food for things like Boxes of Hope and other charitable things that we're doing that you can read about in the Messenger or the Bulletin. But it's a really different experience to come face to face with one of these people, or many of them, when we are giving something, putting food in a box or writing a check from our home office. You don't see the face of the person that you're helping. But when you go and you serve a cup of coffee to somebody, or you just welcome them and say hi, it's a different thing. Now yesterday, and there were a lot of volunteers, which was awesome. I hear from Mike that some Saturdays they barely have enough people to pull this off. Yesterday, I would say that they were probably overstaffed. If I didn't go, it probably would have made a difference at all. So whatever I did was very minimal. I set up some tables and chairs along with everybody else in this little space that they have. And there were other people from our parish and other places that went and made peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and served hot food. And some people just stood at the door and greeted the people and said, good morning, it's really nice that you're here. Nobody said a negative thing to any of those people. No one said anything judgmental. No one said, how did you get here? Or why are you like this? Or can you make yourself better? Everybody said, welcome, it's really nice to have you here. And as people went out the door, people said, have a great day. Please take some food with you to go. It was a wonderful thing. Now, it's kind of a bold thing to do something that you haven't done before. It's kind of a bold thing. You know, and if you don't do things that you've never done before, you don't really get anywhere in life. Like, there are many times that we have to argue with our son about doing something new, whether it's learning a new skill or trying a new food or going a new place. It's a struggle for everybody to learn new things, to do new things. But we know that if we don't do anything new, if we never did anything new, we'd all be eating whatever our favorite food was when we were 1 and a half, like chicken and fries or mac and cheese. We would never try anything new. We probably wouldn't have learned the alphabet. We wouldn't have learned to drive a car. We wouldn't have a job. We wouldn't have anything that we have if we weren't going to try something new. And so it takes some kind of courage and confidence and boldness even to go and do something that you haven't done before, like serving the hungry. Now, I want to bring up two topics that I want to leave with you this week to think on as regards our church, and two things that we are doing that we should be doing better, all right? And one of them relates to this interaction with people that we had yesterday at First Presbyterian. The church is the body of Christ. It's the people. The church is the people. The church is not the building. If this building is empty, if we all decide not to come to church for a year, and this building just sat there empty, it'd just be a building with nice artwork in it. Right? The church is the people. The essence of the church is the people who are in the building, doing the things that they do here. Whether it's praying, whether it's worshiping, whether it's confessing sins, whether it's working together for anything. Right? The body of Christ is the people. And so the church is supposed to be a foundational place where ministry is done. I mean, we read in the epistle today, and how beautiful the epistle is today, about the boldness of Isaiah, the boldness of Moses, how are men to call upon him who have not believed, and how are they to believe in him who they have not heard, and how are they to hear without a preacher, and how can men preach unless they are sent? I mean, the Word of God doesn't go anywhere unless there are people to take the Word of God somewhere. And that's not just the priest and the pastoral assistant and the Sunday school teachers. It's everybody. Everyone is supposed to be an apostle, like St. Matthew that we commemorate today, and is supposed to take the message out to the people. And so there's a process. You come, you learn, and then you go out and you preach and you help. Now, allow me to paint an analogy, a picture that I'm writing about in the Messenger for December, and that is when Christ founded the church, he intended for it to be not just a spiritual place, but a social / fellowship place. Right? Imagine 1,000 years ago, they didn't have a big city like Tampa. Imagine your subdivision of 200-300 people, 200-300 homes, and in the middle of your subdivision there's a church. And outside of your subdivision there's fields, lakes, and forests. And every day the people in the subdivision go out and do what they do. They go out and they farm their fields, they go out and hunt game in the forest, they go fishing, they work at a blacksmith shop, they cook, someone is a baker, somebody's a doctor. Every Sunday they gather for church, and probably every morning and night because the church is so close and it's a place where they have fellowship and they have warmth. They gather in the church in the morning and the evening to pray. And when somebody who is plowing a field breaks his leg and can't plow his field, somebody else goes and plows the field for him. And probably in that subdivision there's 10 people who have lost their spouses. And so the village takes care of those people to make sure that they're not forgotten. And maybe they have a support group for them. And for people that have other issues, they have a support group for them. No one is left out in this whole process. Now this does not mean that the villages of 1,000 years ago were utopian societies, or that they were communists, or that people didn't have private property, because I'm sure they did. And I'm sure there was sort of a hierarchy. This one was the one who knew everything, and this one was the one who was a little bit slow, and this is the one who had lots of money, and this one was the one who didn't. But the thing is that the village took care of the village. Everyone was taken care of. And so we're not like this anymore. We don't have a little village. We're not all Orthodox. We live all over Tampa. But what we're supposed to be doing as a church is the same thing. There's a spiritual element here, but there's a social / fellowship element here. And we're supposed to take care of each other. And now there are people in our community who don't have spouses because they have passed away. There are people in our community who are sick and need support. There are people in our community who have problems of any kind you can probably imagine. And not only the people in our community, there are people that live on the next block over there that probably have the same thing, that aren't Orthodox. They're never going to become members of our parish. We interface with them on the streets, in the markets, in the banks, wherever we go. So one of the things that our church is supposed to do is supposed to be a social fellowship center for everybody. There are lots of churches that have ministries like AA. Lots of churches that have programs for elderly people. There are lots of people who have support groups for people who have special needs children, or cancer survivors, or divorce survivors, or any kind of thing. And they don't ask. Are you Orthodox? Are you Baptist? Are you Presbyterian? They say, if you have a need, come on in the door. We have something we can help you. They don't pass out a pledge form. They say, just come. Just come and be healed, and be helped, and learn, and be supported, and be prayed for, and feel loved. Right now, I'm saying this, and where I'm going with this is, if we have a church, and we are just struggling to get through the year, pay all the bills, raise the stewardship, and then turn the calendar and start all over again, we really aren't living out the message of the gospel, which is to boldly go and take the gospel to everyone we encounter. That's what we're supposed to be doing as a church. And we're not supposed to be dodging a bullet and saying, oh, thank God it didn't rain on the festival. You know how many people came last Saturday and said, Father, have you checked your phone? Have you checked the weather station? There's a front coming in today. Father, can you pray extra hard that it doesn't come too fast? I mean, I checked my phone 20 times last Saturday. And I'm like, oh, I hope it doesn't come until after like 9. Then we're like in the clear. Then it came at 8. And many people were like, oh my gosh, we've got money on the table. Like, this is not the way to run a church. It's really not. The festival should be a fun thing. We shouldn't be stressing out about the weather. I mean, I know people who actually lost sleep last weekend because of the weather. That's awful. We're putting our fortunes of our church in the hands of the weatherman. We had an awesome festival. It was nice to see everyone rally together. But it would have all gone for naught if it rained all weekend. Or if the festival had been 2 weeks ago, that Saturday was like terribly cold. Or even if it was this Friday. Friday was terrible. I woke up this Friday and I'm like, wow, how cold it is. Thank God our festival is done and over. I feel sorry for Newport Richie. They have their festival this weekend. Hope the weather doesn't kill them. All right? So, where am I going with this? We're about to start our stewardship drive for 2015. You're going to get materials in the mail this week. I'm asking for a favor. I want you to spend an hour of your time, 1 hour of your time, and I want you to read the material. I want you to read the material and digest it and understand it and pray over it. I don't want you to just go business as usual. Like, all right, I'm going to do what I did last year and add a couple dollars, or maybe not. I'm just going to kind of do the thing from the 4 minute. All right, I want you to read the material. I want you to digest the material, and I want you to pray over the material. And I want you to pray over what your pledge is going to be for this year. I want us to do some things that are bold in our community. Wouldn't it be a bold step if we all brought our form in on December 7th? Or we had all the stewardship done by December 31st, if every form came in? Because then we could spend the entire year next year, starting January 1st, we could spend the whole year talking about how to better our fellow man. We could be the church that Christ calls us to be. Instead of Father saying, it's April, we haven't heard from half of you, or it's July, or put us over the top, it's October, or we're all rushing to make sure we're eligible to vote, or whatever it is we're doing with the stewardship, right? We want to do better than that. So let's go bold. Let's go bold. Let's think about what we're going to do. Let's pray about what we're going to do. And then come December 7th, let's do that. All right, our goal for next year is a lofty $470,000. We can do that. We can do that. I know we can do that. I know that I'm going to up my pledge, not because the economy is great or I've had a great year last year, but because the older I get, the more I realize that whatever I have, at the end, it's not going to go with me anyway. What I'm going to answer to God for is, how did I behave in relation to the church? Did I do whatever I could do for the church? Was I bold or was I scared? Did I continue to learn, or did I say, I'm 42 and I have nothing else to learn? Did I continue to grow in my faith, or did I just stagnate as the person I was 30 years ago? All right? We are moving forward as a parish. That's a great thing. This is my 11th go around with stewardship. That's a great thing. I thank God every day that I'm still here. I thank God for all of you. I come in early on Sundays and I pray for you. Some by name, some by ministry, but I'm praying for you. I'm thinking of you. As you come for communion, I know just about every name. That's an awesome thing. I'm challenging people, if you read the messenger, I'm challenging everyone to do something different with prayer this Advent. To find two people that are not in your family and pray with them. When you're having a conversation with someone for an hour, like we all do, say at the end of the conversation, can I say a prayer with you? Can I just thank God for you? Can I ask God to bless you? I mean, who's going to say no to that? Who isn't going to love that? The first time you do that, it's really kind of a bold move. But once you do that once or twice, then it becomes something really nice for you and for the person you're praying for. How much would you like it? I mean, people love it when they come in my office and they say, can I pray for you, Mr. So-and-so who's in my office? People love that. No one has ever gone out of my office saying, Father, that was a terrible thing that you did. Everyone says, that's a beautiful thing. Thank you, Father. I never expected that in here. All right? And it's not just because I'm a priest. You can do this. Anybody can do this. People love receiving that gift. All right? That's my Advent challenge to you. Read that over. If you're not sure what you're doing, come to the retreat. I'll teach you all about it on Saturday. And start praying for your families and for your friends. All right? Well, let's start being the church that God wants us to be. I challenge, and I'm asking the people that are running for the parish council this year, because we have so many of them, we don't have to beg people anymore. How wonderful is that? We have 12 people that want to run for the parish council. That's awesome. And I'm like, now we're going to elevate our game on the parish council. I'm asking all the parish council members, and later on, the ministry heads, that they should be going to confession. Because once a year, they should sit down with a spiritual father and just say, you know, how am I doing in my life? That's a great thing. What a great thing to walk out of confession and say, you know, I know I'm A-okay with God. If I die right now, I'm going to be going straight to His heavenly kingdom. What a great thing is that? That's an awesome thing. Something else, sort of offline, that I'm asking people to do, especially the ministry heads, we're going to do background checks on everyone who works with youth. So if you've been teaching Sunday school for 30 years, or you've been in some ministry leadership position for 30 years, we ask you, can we please do a background check? It's not because we don't trust you. It's not because you have anything to worry about, or we have anything to worry about. But it's like, let's advance our church. Let's make our church a safe place. We're going to put this in for everybody. And everyone's going to feel safe here because we're doing all the things that we're supposed to do. Right? So to wrap up my very long sermon, and I'm sorry, there were many topics I threw out today. Remember Christ and the Apostle Matthew. Matthew is a tax collector, a terrible reputation person. And Christ would just sit on the mountaintop and say, hello out there, everybody get your act together. He went right to Matthew's house. And he said, I'm going to sit down with you face to face. Come on, Matthew, you're a talented guy. You're good at cheating people. I bet you can be just as good at helping them. So come on, Matthew, I'm calling you today. Come out of your house. Be a disciple. I want even you. That's what Christ said. That was bold. So none of us are like Matthew. There are no thieves and cheaters in the church today. So we're all bright, intelligent, wonderful, beautiful people that God has made in His image and likeness. Let's go be like Matthew. Let's go be apostles. Let's go be like Isaiah and be bold. Let's go make the church what God wants this church to be. A social, spiritual platform to save ourselves and many other people that we don't even see here. All right? And it's all possible with your stewardship. When you step forward with your time, with your talent, and honestly with your treasure, so that we don't spend the whole year just trying to survive, and we don't play the whole game like last night. How many people enjoyed that game last night? I know I enjoyed the end of it, but I didn't really enjoy the whole thing because I was chewing my nails. Like, are we going to lose again? Are we going to spot those people and they didn't see at the end? I mean, it would have been a much more entertaining game had they just blown them out in the first quarter, and then we could have spent the whole time, you know, texting our friends, saying that's how wonderful we are. All right? Especially when I text Skip, the Gator fan. I'm just kidding, Skip. Yeah. I even wore your colors today.
Yeah.
All right, but seriously, let's go forward and be bold in the stewardship. Let's get that done really quick so we can spend the whole year doing what we're supposed to do, seeking and saving the lost, whether it's the person next to you or the person who's down the street. Lots of work to do. We can do it. God bless you. Thanks for being here. Thanks for a wonderful liturgy today, and thanks for a wonderful festival. I'm going to come next door real quick. I'm going to get through on Lima real quick, get my stuff off, put on my OPA shirt that I couldn't wear last week, and I can't wait to serve you rice in a few minutes. God bless you. Have a great week.